So like the other week we discussed, we said that the Gemara says in Baba Basra that Shmuel HaNavi wrote three of our Nevi'im. He wrote Shmuel, we call it Shmuel because he wrote it. He was the author of that. And the Gemara tells us he also wrote Shoiftim and he wrote Rus. What we're dealing with, Rus was authored by Shmuel HaNavi. Obviously it's Nevi'im, so it's Choshev, and every letter and every word has to be Daik. What was the reason why he wrote it? The simple explanation we gave was because when David became king, there was a question about his ancestry, and they sent Shmuel a question, and his long answer, this answer is proving David's ancestry is legal. That's really what it is. The whole story of Rus, according to one explanation, is a written response saying that it's allowed. Okay. So we had a question, which we discussed. Some of us weren't here because we were prancing around Eretz Yisrael. We had a question, which one was written first? If Shmuel, and if he wrote three, he has Shmuel, Rus, and Shoiftim. What do you write first? What do you write second? What do you write third? How does it work? So we explained that Pashtas, the simple explanation is going to be that Shmuel was written last. Why? Your autobiography, unless you're insane, you don't write an autobiography when you're 5 years old or 12 years old. You wait to the end of life to write biography. So odds are Shmuel never was written at the end. Then we had a debate between Rus and Shoiftim. What did he write first or not? So when we discussed it last time, Press asked a question. And he said, what's the difference? What he wrote first? So we said, it was a good question. And we're going to get to it next time. At this time, so it goes like this. It's not only a theoretical question, what he wrote first. It's a realistic question that has practical differences in law. Here goes. The opening words, as realized in front of him, is, Vayihi b'mei Shvayit HaShoiftim. We begin by saying this is the days that occurred during Shoiftim. That's how we know that even though he wrote Rus, Shoiftim, and Shmuel, we discussed last time, Shmuel is one thing, but Rus and Shoiftim could have been together. Because Rus begins, it's the days of the Shoiftim. It's part of the Shoiftim. The whole 20-something chapters of Shoiftim could have been Rus in there also. We spoke about it last time. So now comes the question. Now the question is, between Rus and Shoiftim, what came first? And what will be the difference? The first words. Because the first words are, not first words. The whole tonight share, by the way, is on the first letter. Vayehi b'mei Shvayit HaShoiftim. Vayehi means what? And it was. You don't start a word and to a book unless you're talking about something that happened before that. So and means go. What's and going on? And it was in the days. So we in English maybe it makes more sense. But in Hebrew you can't start something new with an and. In English also it shouldn't be that way. You don't start and means I was doing A and B. So what's and B? What's it going on? So the difference now is going to be when you start the first letter, Vayehi b'mei, and it was, who is the and referring to before this? What's right before this that we're discussing and now? Just in case it seems like a theoretical question, this is a machlokes between the early commentators. Early commentators. The Chida writes that what's the word and going on? Mind blowing. The Chida says it's going because we spoke about it in Bab Basra. We spent 3 weeks preparing for this shir tonight. I'm saying all the classes we gave. We said then that what was Rus the beginning of? But same Gemara Basra. Rus was the beginning of Ksuvim. The Gemara had a debate, it should be Eve, but Rus was the beginning of Ksuvim. So the Chidah is a very simple thing. What's it coming afterward? Remember, when you start Yeshua, the first word of Yeshua is and why? It's following the Torah. Makes sense, right? First word of Yeshua, what's the first word of Yeshua? Everyone know? So it's what you mean, right? So it makes sense because it's following the Torah. So he follows the words of the Torah. And it was, follows the words of the Torah. You have five books of the Torah, then it says and. So what's it going on? What is the word, what is Rus going on? So he wants to say, since Rus is the beginning of Tzuvim, Vayihi Achrei Mois Moshe. Yeshua begins, and after Moshe died, begins Yeshua. So it makes perfect sense. Five books of Moses. It ends with Moshe Rabbeinu dying. So it says, after Moshe died, starts the new, not, so it says, and after Moshe died. But what's going to happen over here? So he wants to say like this. The Chidah says that after means we have Torah, Nevi'im, and Tzuvim. So since Rus is the beginning of Ksuvim, the first Pasuk of Ksuvim is Rus, if the and is going on, the last Pasuk in Nevi'im. What is the last of Nevi'im? Yedias Klali is for a fourth grader. The last of Nevi'im is Malachi. That's the last of Nevi'im. And what's the last Pasuk at the end of Nevi'im? It says like this, in English. Hini Anochi, I will send Elio the prophet before the coming of the great and awesome day of Hashem. The last pasuk in the Nevi'im is discussed in the beginning of Eliyahu coming. And he will turn back to Hashem the hearts of the fathers with their sons and the hearts of the sons with the fathers, lest they come and strike the land with utter destruction. So here it says, so the end of the Nevi'im is talking about what? Eliyahu Navi revealing himself. So the Chidah says, the beginning of Ksuvim, says, and why? Because one of the points of the story of Rus was what? To prove David's permitted genealogy, to show that he's allowed into the klal. So since he's allowed into the klal, you know what it's telling us? What's the whole point of David? Well, who cares if David's allowed into the klal? What's the real point? The point wasn't David himself only. The point was the messianic revelation, the great grandson of David, who was called Mashiach. So he says like this to Chida, not me. The Chida says, I'll tell you how it goes. The end of the Nevi'im is talking about when Eliyahu HaNavi comes. Eliyahu HaNavi comes and he's telling the Hush of Leva voice of Anam. So we start the Ksuvim. The first scroll in the Ksuvim is going to be, and by the way, let's get to it. Not only have Eliyahu, we have Mashiach as well. So he connects the last Pasuk of Malachi to the first Pasuk of Rus, the first letter of Rus, of Va, Vi, and to say that it's going the end of this to the beginning of this. That's what the Chida says. But they ask a question on the Chida. Historically speaking, this doesn't make sense. Why? Because Shmuel HaNavi, we said, if everyone's paying attention, which no one is, if Shmuel HaNavi wrote Rus, that's great. Shmuel HaNavi wrote Rus, that's unbelievable, right? But who wrote Malachi? Hundreds of years later. So how could you say that Shmuel HaNavi was writing Rus as an attachment to Malachi to connect Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach, Shmuel HaNavi, the 500 years earlier? Oh, so what you're going to have to say, and he brings it down, excellent, you have to say is that really it's very interesting. When Shmuel HaNavi wrote the Nevi'im, he started the letter saying, and in the time of Shmuel HaNavi's lifetime, probably most people had no idea what he was talking about. Why are you beginning a book with the word and? But later on, when the earlier books were then written, and they became what's called Nevi'im, not Ksuvim, and it ends off the Nevi'im with Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come and save us. So now it's, oh, he said, and, because that means it's going to come. That's what you have to answer the Chidah. But they ask on the Chidah. So answer number one of why it starts with a Vav and is going to go in a chronological order of the books, not historical order. When you open the books, how does it go the order? Since the Gemara says Rus is the beginning of the third section of Tanakh. Tanakh represents three sections. Tar Nevi'im Ksuvim. Since Rus represents the opening of Ksuvim, it's attached to the end of Nevi'im, Gzeres Shava of Eliyahu Navi Mashiach. Therefore, the Vav goes with that. That's the first answer. The Sherish Yishai, that's the 1500s, he says, no, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it, but what we said before. He says you can't put Malachi before Shmuel because Malachi lived 250 years after Shmuel. It doesn't work out. So what's the and going on? So he says the and's going to be that the and's going to be on the whatever he wrote before that, on Shmuel's and. That means Shmuel wrote a sefer. How does Shmuel's sefer going to end? We're going to figure it out. So he says, he wants to learn, that it goes on the end of, I think he says the end of Shmuel's sefer. But we had a problem with that. Why? Because we said he wrote Shmuel later. So again, you have to come on to the same thing as Real saying. Why would Shmuel write and in the beginning? We didn't write the book yet. So the easy answer could be, according to what we were saying, that it'll be going on Shoiftim. Shmuel wrote Shoiftim. We asked the question, what he wrote first last week. So he would have wrote Shoiftim first, and then have written and Rus, and then have written Shmuel itself. So again, the main question is going to be on the first one, first letter, when you're starting with the word and. Vav is in Hebrew, it's a letter. In English, it's an and. What is it going on to? But to start a book, that's the question. Oh yes, they bring down that Esther was going on the book before. It was going on, I forgot, we're talking about Achashverosh. On Yecheskel or something, yeah. Okay. Not everyone starts with and, but the ones that do, they say it goes on something. That's what we said before, Yeshua goes on the Chumash. Anytime you're going to start a book with the word and, they're going to right away say, you have to discuss where it's going on. So that's all just saying on what the first letter is, on what is going on. But now we're going to discuss, tonight's share, now we got to turn the brains on. It's all about the first letter.
Also.
What? Of what? If you go Shoiftim Rus, it's not bad, yeah. Yeah. That's what we discussed this last week, what he wrote first, we weren't sure. So if you held he wrote Shoiftim first, then it's good. He wrote Shoiftim, then Rus. But if you hold he wrote, then it's good. But if he wrote Rus before you wrote Shoiftim and Shmuel, then the and becomes an issue. Now the first letter. Correct. No, it's also no. Vayhi b'mei is a lashon tzar, right? But we're talking about the vav, so it would be yehi b'mei, because in English it's and it was. You could start a book. It was the days of Achashverosh, or and it was the days of Achashverosh. Correct. They all right now. What's fascinating is a medrash that says like this, all on the first letter. When you start the book, we just said the first letter is a vav, which means and. And the Medrash, I couldn't say this. The Medrash says, a wild idea. The Medrash says that if you look, then you figure it out. Every pasuk in Rus begins with a vav.
Yeah.
Except?
Any
pasuk? Except eight. Except eight.
Eight.
Everyone's a vav except eight.
Really?
A Medrash says it. But you look, you see it. Every pasuk. If you look, it's realized in front of him. What? How many pasukim Rus? Excellent. There's 85. 85.
On the first page, I see.
There's going to be eight, Israel. Eight.
There's three on the first page.
There's only four pages in the whole thing, so.
Oh, okay.
So it's not so bad. Statistically, we're doing well here. I can give you a list of psukim. There's eight psukim that don't start above. The Medrash asked this question. The Medrash says it's an anomaly. Of course, statistically, vav might be the most common letter to start a pasuk. I don't know exactly how it works. Let's say A's, but this statistically is too much. How can you have vav starting all except eight? So the Medrash says two reasons. First, you should know there's two focuses now on the Medrash's question. The Medrash is focusing on why everything is yes with a vav and why eight are not with a vav. The Medrash is discussing both. The first, he says, everything's with a vav except for eight. He answers the first, except why. Why not eight?
Mm-hmm.
Very cryptic message by the Medrash. We'll discuss it tonight. The Medrash, I'll tell you why. Because bris, a bris milah, the covenant of Judaism is eight days of the bris, right? You know that song? So since Rus came into the bris, we don't call it Torah. Since Rus entered into the nation of bris, we'll call B'nai Bris. So the eight psukim, I want to tell you, by the way, don't forget the eight. That's very cryptic. We'll get to that, what it means in depth in a second. Mm-hmm. Why did it start with the vav? That's only why it didn't start with the vav at eight times. What about yes with the vav? Because the word vav can mean also, not the Medrash, vav means a vey, a geshrek, a nebuch, a cry. So the Medrash says these words, not me. The Medrash says that the entire story of Rus, when you're reading it, every pasuk starts with a vav to remind you of the nebuchite, the geshrek, that what's the thing, the tragedy? And he says the tragedy is that it started out with Elimelech and his two sons. They were supposed to be the leaders of Klai Yisrael. We discussed a couple weeks ago, while some people were in here locally, we discussed that the Bnei Shoiftim was before the Malachim. There were Malachim yet in Judaism, but Elimelech could have been a king. That's why his name was Elimelech. Elimelech, the word Elimelech means Elimelech, I could have been the king. But instead of becoming the king of Klai Yisrael, which he was royal kach, if not for the fact generation of kings yet, he could have been a king, but the word didn't exist. The reality of kings didn't exist yet in Klai Yisrael. But what happened instead? Instead, in the beginning of the story, he gets killed. So it's a geshrek that look what happened to these people. Look what happened to his two sons. And the Navi tells you every pasuk recognized the nebuchadnezzar of what happened to Elimelech and his two sons. And then the Medrash says also, look at the greatness of what Rus did. Look how the leaders of the generation failed, Medrash. And yet, Rus came through with a lot of hardships and she joined Judaism.
So the why the pasuk at the end also was already good. Wasn't the
buy? Because everything in the end was that the Melech was out of it. So the Medrash is telling us that every pasuk starts with a vav. As remember this in the back of your mind, that look, as much as you're reading the story, realize what it could have been. It could have been an Elimelech story and became a real story. And why not eight? Because there's a bris. That's the Medrash. Now the Chassam Sofer says right away, what David was asking before he's eating and stuffing his mouth. The Chassam Sofer asks like this: when you're coming into the bris, she became a Moabite queen to becoming a Jew. She doesn't have a bris. When you say someone becomes a Jew, Chassam Sofer says it. I understand someone becomes a Jew. When you're a male person and you come to Judaism, you have a bris, Mila. He says, I understand that. He said, but how are you making a bris with a lady? It's just a weird phrase. The Medrash is saying, don't forget eight times because she came to the bris. She came to the nation of a bris, which is probably what the Medrash means. But the Chassam Sofer says, maybe because he has an answer, he asked the question. He says, I don't like this idea of saying that Rus, that has eight psukim to represent bris, because Rus came to a bris. Because in the end, Rus didn't come to a bris. No such thing. So the Chassam Sofer says, listen, it can't mean as simple as you're reading it. That's what he says. He says, again, the Medrash is written cryptically. The Medrash says, the reason why it doesn't have an eight psukim above, because Rus came to a bris. So when you read the Medrash like everyone does, it means she came to B'nai Bris. He says, no. He says what David was saying correctly before. What did David say before? And this is Chassam Sofer. He says, let's use multiplication. We have vavs everywhere except for eight. And the Medrash says, why everywhere except for eight? The Medrash is saying two-part Medrash. Why all the places vav and why the eight places not vav? So the Medrash is putting together. He says, what the Medrash is trying to say is what you got to do is do vav which is 6 and 8 together. That's what it's telling you to do. What's the Vav and the 8? So the Chassam Sofer says, you times, you the Chassam Sofer this, you times 6 times 8. I mean, seriously. Mark, you messed up last time. This time you're confident. You're confident? Final answer. 48. So why does he say 48? So Chassam Sofer says, because there's a Gemara here, I'm going to read your Gemara. The Gemara says, in Sota 37b, the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan is talking about how many times Klai Yisrael came together. And it says like this, V'ksiv, Shemaratim Ezdivir Bersazois, Nimsa. We're not going through the whole mathematical equation. We have other math stuff to do tonight. Nimsa Arbom Ushmoina Brisois Al Kol Mitzvah Mitzvah. It emerges that there are 48 brisim associated with each and every commandment. There's a Gemara, which means the Chassam Sofer says, when it says that Rus entered the bris, it doesn't mean she had what the Arabs do, because we don't believe in female circumcision. What it said is that she entered into the bris, because every mitzvah has 48 brisim attached to it, and she came into Klai Yisrael. She entered the bris of Klai Yisrael, and therefore she entered with the 48. That's the medrash meant by Vav and Ches. Vav and Ches is Vav times Ches. Therefore, it equals the 48. That's what it represents. So when we're reading this, we have to know every pasuk starts with a Vav, because 6 is important. And every pasuk doesn't start with a Ches, 8 psukim of them, and the 8 don't, and the 6 do, and that's how it goes like this. 8 times 6 for the 37. Now, 6 times 8 is 48. Now, what I wanted to say is, Chassam Sofer is Chassam Sofer, so you know, Mechil is Kvodai, but then I found someone who said it, that instead of doing 8 times 6, let's do 8 plus 6. How much 8 plus 6, Mark? Come on, easy one. 8 plus 6, Mark.
12, 14.
14. Do you know what's 14, David? Since the whole point of it, instead of doing 8 times 6, let's do 8 plus 6. So 8 plus 6 is 14. To tell you that the whole idea is we're trying, the whole Megillah is about David HaMelech. The whole Megillah tells you that David HaMelech is kosher. So we start with the hints. Afterwards, there's everything going on in these, what we pointed out in Esther, every letter you could spend years on. But just in case we're thinking this is a little crazy, we're going to do one fascinating vart. I have literally 25 different gematrias. But we're going to do something I said a couple weeks ago. We're going to do it now with David's rishus. Not only do the rabbis focus on every vav that's a yes, not only do the rabbis focus on the psukim that don't start with a vav, what the rabbis do, what Israel started doing back there, is they play anagrams. What they do is they take the 8 letters that don't start with the Vav, because it's written with prophecy. We started the share by saying, as Real said it, that Shmuel and Avi wrote this, and he wrote the word and with prophecy for something that was happening 300 years later. So clearly there's a lot of prophecy going on. That means every letter is with prophecy. So they take the 8 letters and they play anagrams with it. And depends on which rabbi you look at, on what anagram you come out with for what interpretation. But for sure what one of the interpretations is, the letters are, as we already have so far, Yud, Shin, Ayin, Beis, Aleph, Hey, Lamed. Those are 8 letters. I know because I've been looking at it the whole day in different anagram form. One of the anagrams on that would be Yesha, Be'oil. I'm saved, Yeshua. Yesha, I'm saved, Be'oil in the tent. That's what they say. So many of the commentators say right away, you know what I mean, saved by the tent? What do we believe? Zois Chukas HaTorah. That the tent of Torah is what saved David HaMelech. And that Torah is going to save Klai Yisrael to be Mashiach. And they say a very good answer, that the reason why the words Yesha Be'el, I will be saved in the tent, means the tent of Torah. But I want to say something that I said the other week again. You heard it the other week from the Chiddush HaRim. Unbelievable story. Whoever heard it, I'm sorry for repeating it, but it's worth repeating again because I'm going to go a little slower this time. 3 angels came to Avraham Avinu. 3 angels came to Avraham Avinu. 1, to tell Sarah about having a child. That's what Rashi says. 1, to heal Avram, and 1 to destroy Sodom. And we said that these 3 angels all made mistakes. Why? Because the one who came to inform Sarah wasn't there. They asked, where's Sarah? Sarah's in the tent. Oh, by the way, you're having a kid next year. That his job was to tell Sarah. And in the meantime, he told Avram Avinu. Rashi says his job was to tell Sarah, and he told Avram Avinu. So he made a mistake. The guy who came, she overheard, maybe. Yeah, that's a good answer. Some say, oh, that's one of the answers, overheard. Second of all, we said, Halacha l'maisa, you're not allowed to ask someone how your wife's doing. In Jewish law, it's not sneistic. And all of them, come on, where's your wife? A lowlife on the street wouldn't ask such a question. These 3 angels are asking this question. Next one we asked, what's the pshat that the guy who came to Tishroi Sodom came to Avraham Avinu's house? You have a job to do, go to Sodom. You're taking the scenic route to get a free tongue? He gave out real food Thursday night. Real food Thursday night. So they came, he came, what are you doing here? And then we said as well, the guy who came to heal Avram also saved Lloyd. So we had a question. Well, that's two jobs. The Gemara begins by saying the reason why three angels came, not one, because every angel has a specific job. So Gemara asked Akasha. The Gemara said, wait a second, this guy has two jobs. This guy came to heal Avram and save Lloyd. So Gemara said, yeah, healing and saving, that's the same job. I mean, the Gemara says it, but that's an interesting answer. You could have sent another guy for healing and another guy for saving. Why not? Big deal. So he said like this. Really what they were coming for, and when they asked Avram, where's your wife? It was not a simple question. And this is why the guy from Sodom came. Because before he goes to destroy Sodom, he had a halacha question. The halacha question is this. Lloyd was in Sodom. Lloyd had in his DNA, that he was going to produce a nation called Moav. That later on was going to produce a Rus who was going to make the Mashiach dynasty out of her. In his DNA, in Lloyd's DNA existed this concept. That he's going to have relations with his daughters, who then is going to produce Moav, who then generations later is going to have an issue with Klai Yisrael in a second we'll get to, and then Rus is going to come out of it and she's going to marry David. So the question was, okay, let's figure this out. Can we save or not? Why? Because how the steps went was, even though Lloyd and his daughters produced the Moav, in the desert, when the Jews came forward to Moav and said, can we have some stuff? Moav said, no, you don't help us out. So the Torah says, oh, you guys don't have, you're missing basic character. Basic character. These are your cousins. To say you treat them genocidal, colonization. What are you going to do here? So the Torah says, you guys are out. Because you guys didn't treat the Jews well. You should have came out to your cousins and said, here's bread and water. So the Torah says, the Ammon of nations of Ammon are not allowed in. They're not allowed in. So the question became, not my question, but the question from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, all the way through David HaMelech, all those years, that's a lot, that's about 7, 8 generations. The question became, when the Torah says, don't marry the men from Ammon and Moav, is it men only? Or the Torah speaking gender male? Why? There's a svara. When it says they didn't greet you, were the women expected to greet them? In the old days, women stayed in the kitchen. So if the women were supposed to be in the kitchen, the Ammon and Moav women, they're not obligated to come out and greet the women of Jews, not obligated, then okay, then they didn't do anything wrong. So when the Torah says, you're not allowed to marry into these nations because of bad character, it wasn't applying to the women. The men had bad character. The men didn't come out. But the women had fine character. Or do we say, no, the women should have came out as well? It's a big question. What's the job of women? Do they have to serve or not? Do they serve do they stay in the kitchen and make the food? Or do they serve the food by the table by the men as well? So they came to Avraham Avinu. They told Avraham Avinu, where is your wife? Where is your wife wasn't a schmooze, where's your wife? That's not allowed. Where was your wife? It's an halacha question. In law, do the women belong in the kitchen or do the women have to come out and help serve? What they were saying is, listen, we're going to go save Lloyd right now. Lloyd had no schusim. Lloyd should have died in Sodom. Lloyd's potential schus was, you know what Lloyd's schus was? Unbeknownst to Lloyd, he was holding a DNA inside of him that might have produced the Mashiach dynasty. But that's dependent if the women are allowed to marry. Because the Mashiach dynasty goes through Rus. She's a female of Ammon and Moav. Depends if she's allowed in. If she's not allowed in, then we don't save Lloyd. Why would we save Lloyd? The DNA is worthless. But if they are allowed in, then you save Lloyd. What's the pen you're allowed in or not? Are women in the kitchen or not? So they come to Avraham Avinu. The guy who went to Sodom to kill Sodom wasn't coming to get free tongue. He was coming to Avraham Avinu. I'm going to destroy Sodom. Halachically, does Lloyd make it out or not? How do we know if Lloyd makes it out? Avraham Avinu, where's your wife? Is Sarah going to come serve us or not? What does Avraham Avinu answer? Hinei Sarah Boil. Those are words in the pasuk. Sarah's in the tent. So he said, oh, Sarah's in the tent. He didn't come to tell about the news. Sarah's in the tent, which means I can go now, which means the women are allowed to stay indoors, which means the women, 4 generations later, are not mechuyev to come treat the Jews, which means the women are allowed to marry the Jews, which means Rus is allowed in, and David Mashiach is allowed to come out of that. So what he does is... What?
If it was a woman's liver, it wouldn't have worked.
Correct. So what he does is, he says, oh, he nastar b'ishtacha? Perfect, we're going to go now to Sodom, and we're going to save Lloyd, because Lloyd's DNA has the girl who's going to produce this thing. Unbelievable. And we said last time as well, that when David HaMelech in Tehillim holds up the pasuk, what does it say? Koist Yeshua Sessa. The Gemara says that when Mashiach comes, they're going to have a big suda. They're going to give out wine. They're going to go to Avraham Avinu, you lead the benching. And Avraham Avinu says, I can't. I produced Yishmael. Yitzchak, I produced Esther. Yaakov, I married 2 sisters. They're going to go through all the people. They're going to come to David and say, I'll do it. And we know from the Gemara, David wasn't perfect according to his standards. But it says, Koist Yeshua Sessa. I'm going to lift up my cup. What does Koist Yeshua Sessa mean? Essa means the acronym of Aye Sara Ishtecha. When they asked him, where's your wife? When they asked him, where's your wife? From the Chumash, it says, Aye Sara Ishtecha, where's your wife? He said, I'm holding this up. You know why? Because when they asked Avram, Aye Sara Ishtecha, Avram Avinu made him socked in. That the women stay indoors. The women stay indoors, therefore Lloyd was allowed to be saved. Lloyd's allowed to be saved, therefore she produced a child called Moyav. Moyav's great granddaughter is called Rus, and I married into that family. I'm from that family, I'm all good to go. So what do I want to say? Two things now. This is the mind-blowing stuff. When it says the Medrash, here's an original, when it says the Medrash, what? That every Pasuk starts with a Vav, except for what? Eight. Why not eight? Because it represents bris. And we asked the Kasha, okay, she doesn't have a bris. And we have Kasha, what's it do with the Vav? So we said one answer, the Vav and the eight equals David. That's fine. You know what else it could be? First of all, it could be like this. The letters of the eight psukim spell out Yesha ba'oil. My salvation is in the tent. Not the tent of Torah, like we said before. The tent meant David HaMelech is saying, my salvation is in the tent. You know why? Aye, Sarah Eshtecha, where's your wife? She's in the tent by Sarah. In the tent meant David Tzedech, Bindu, I'm allowed to be here. I'm allowed to be a person here. Why am I allowed here?
Yesha ba'oil is seven letters. Yud Shen Ayin, Beis Aleph.
Yes, it's Yishi. Yud Shen Ayin Yud. Good, good, good. You found the psukim yet? And those are the letters so far?
The seven, my Yesha Ba'ol. I don't see two. I only see one yud, not two yud.
Oh, so it must be not you. Okay, you got to look. I'll tell you something in a second. That's unbelievable. Don't forget that is real. So it says like this. When it says Yesha Ba'ol, the letters that are missing, Yesha Ba'ol, is the letter saying that I was saved because Sarah's in the tent. But what do we say also, Galus? We said it's a funny lashon. The Medrash says that what? That eight letters is because eight is represents the word of bris. Well, women don't have bris. But what did we say 2 weeks ago on Shabbos? Unbelievable thing about bris. Bris is also an acronym. Bris is an acronym of the two marriages that created this whole thing. Boaz and Rus. And Yehuda and Tamar. These are the two things that come together. So when the Medrash was saying, I want to tell you about bris, and the Chasam Sofer said bris, what does bris have to do with females? The Medrash didn't necessarily only mean the word bris, meaning 8 days of a bris milah. Women don't have 8 days of bris milah. They can't sing that song. What it meant was bris meant the acronym of the bris. Boaz, Rus, Yehuda, and Tamar. And then you're going to tell me, wait a second, Rabbi. Yehuda and Tamar, we're not doing anything over here. So Israel pointed out a major thing. There's one other. Get ready to get blown away. There's one other parsha in this entire book that also has every pasuk start with a vav except eight. Does that make any sense? Statistically. Not only is one say for a statistic anomaly beyond comprehension, to have a book start with everything except eight. What are the statistics to have a second book that has the same way? What? Which one? Which parsha? Come on, I gave you a softball here. Bris, what does Bris stand for again? Boaz, Rus, Yehuda, and Tamar. What's the parsha? What's the parsha of Yehuda and Tamar? What parsha is that? No, what? Vayeshev. Parshas Vayeshev has every pasuk start with a vav except for a psukim. The Rekeach says this. The Rekeach says that don't think Rus is the only one that has all the vavs except for eight. Vayeshev is the same way. Say what? What type of connection Vayeshev? What? It just sounds like weird things. Trivial pursuit questions. No. Because Vayeshev and Rus were the two marriages of Boaz and Rus and Tamar and Yehuda, which spells out the name Bris. To tell us that that's what's going to create the Messianic dynasty. But you have a bomb kasha. There's a Rekeach. So what I'm saying right now is a Rekeach. You can't, Rekeach lived several hundred years ago. The Rekeach, and by the way, this Rekeach is brought down in many places. Many of the commentators say that there's eight psukim, and the same thing, the same setup, Rus and Vayeshev, all vavs minus eight. But we have someone in the back who's counting. And what's wild is going to be, when you go through Parshas Vayeshev, in the version we have today, there's nine. It's very strange. But the Rekeach says it as a fact. And the later Achronim deal with the fact that we clearly must have some type of Meserah off, and they find a couple of Pesukim in Vayeshev that seem to connect. That's what they want to do. But I want to say an unbelievable story I saw. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, there at Tesol, so lived to 120, he writes all these strong with the funny shilas, right? What if? What happens this? What happens this? So he has a case like this. A Rebbe went into his class, and he told the kids, tell me how many, he was, Rebbe Yechedi was teaching the Vayeshev. He said, how many psukim of Vayeshev don't start with a ches. So one kid stood up, an Elisha kid, he said, yeah, I know the rekech, eight psukim. And the Rebbe said, eight psukim without a vav, you get the prize. And then one kid in the back, we'll pick a random name of a guy sitting in the back. Let's say Israel, would that be a random name we came up with? A guy sitting in the back, and he's counting the psukim, and he comes up to the Rebbe, and he says, what are you talking about? I don't know what this kid said, but I'll show you nine. So the Rebbe didn't know, he didn't come to the Thursday night class, because he knew that it was supposed to only be kugel. He didn't know that there was supposed to be milk food here also. So he didn't come to the class. The Rebbe was stumped, he didn't know, he knew the rekech. So he sent, so the kid, guess what happens? What happens when little kids get promised a prize and they think they're right? They're not giving up. So the kid who said eight said, no, what do you mean? You said I was right. And you said I was right because I knew my father told me a rekech. And the kid with nine says, I don't know who the rekech is, never heard of the rekech. But I'm sitting here with a chumash like someone in the back with a pen and paper writing things down. And it comes out to nine. What are you talking about? So they sent the child to Reb Zilberstein.
I only have seven.
So that's because you had seven on both of them. Even,
I'm not counting the other guys.
Oh, you still only have this. Okay, I'll show you the psukim inside. Fine. It's eight. But the galus is, so they went to Reb Zilberstein, they asked Reb Zilberstein, what happens now? In halacha, does the Rebbe, what's the Rebbe's obligation here? Is he obligated, he said, whoever knows the answer gets a free prize. So what is the answer? I don't know, Reb Zilberstein went on some, I don't know what he's talking about. But the question was a good question. Maisa, if you have a chedidika question. In Parshas Vayeshev, how many psukim don't start with a vav? The Rekech says eight, which many other people say eight, and the Rekech compares it to Rus, and when you count it, it's nine, and when you count Rus, it's actually eight, except Israel only found seven somehow.
No, I found eight.
Oh, you found eight. And it spells the letters Yud, Shin, Ayin, Yud, Beis, Aleph, He, Lamed.
There's two Yuds.
Right. Yud, Shin, Ayin, Yud, Beis, Aleph, He, Lamed. Now what you got to do is, you got to do what Israel does. You got to take those eight letters, put it into a computer like the old rabbis did, and you can come up with so many different potential acronyms, with so many different pshatim it comes out with. All to answer the Medrash. The Medrash says every pasuk with a vav except for these eight. So you have to know why, first of all, a vav. Vasef is a vav. We'll discuss more on Shabbos what Oiz vav represents. Because this pasuk is pasuk with Koytze. Here's my question of the week. Because someone's very insistent I do it every week, David. So the question of the week is, where does Oiz vav play in a very important role in pasuk Bahar with Koytze? That we'll do on Shabbos. But before that, we have to discuss that it's the vav and all the psukim of the eight, and the missing, all the psukim except for the eight, and the missing psukim, you have to know why the missing psukim have those letters, and there's many other interpretations, but we shall daven Ma'ariv now. Agutin.